Blog Talk Radio.
I hear a lot of talk.
Here's some fighters saying, well, the fans don't know real fighters. And what, as if to say, I'm not a real fighter. So what the f*** are you talking about? I'm the most active champion there is in all weight divisions. And I fight at all weight divisions.
Conor's full of f***. He's full of f***. Most of the things he says are full of f***. They tried to build Nate up like he was a monster 170 pounder and he's a world beater. Nate is a lightweight who is wins half of his fights and lose half of his fights.
There's the bitterness coming out again. And I mean, winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners. That's what you're seeing here. That's what you're seeing the whole game. You're focusing on me. I'm focusing on history.
He's picked very good style matchups for himself. He's never put himself in harm's way.
You're here because you're the easiest dude in this division. That's why you're here. And he's never, ever fought anyone in UFC like me.
I can take you where you're weakest, and I can fight you at your strengths.
Oh! Huge right hand from Alvarez!
It'll be high-paced, and it'll be violent.
You've got to be bigger, taller. You've got to have weight. That's the only way you're going to give me a war. If you're anyway same height, same weight, same reach, you're dead. You're not going to last.
The illusion of greatness will soon be over. There is no Santa Claus. He don't exist and he never did.
You know what time it is. It's time for the majority decision coming to you live from the great state of Texas right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Greg the Truth. The co-host of the show is the Black Belt, Mr. Chaos. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I want to invite you to follow us on Twitter at MajorityMMA and like us on Facebook, The Majority Decision. The time has come for the biggest UFC card in the history of mixed martial arts, maybe the biggest card in MMA history, UFC history. Tomorrow night in Madison Square Garden, the UFC will make its debut in New York and put on UFC 205, man. How pumped are you for this one?
Man, I am super excited, and I'm not just saying that because I ate 9 Oreo cookies, but that did help me stay awake for this. But I've been waiting for this for a while. I'm glad, you know, they finally legalized MMA in New York. I don't know what they were waiting on. I mean, it's been all over the world at this point. But Madison Square Garden, man, it's a stacked card top to bottom, and I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, not to harp on New York, but they were about 12 years late to the party. But we'll welcome you with open arms anyway, I guess. People actually had to die in order for it to become sanctioned in New York.
That's true.
So it's been a long road, a ridiculous one. And frankly, I could care less about MMA being in New York. And I think at this point, you know, but I get fighters, performers, and I get the company wanting to hold a card in Madison Square Garden. There's a lot of history in that building. And so I get it from that point of view, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if this card was in New York or Vegas or California or Dubai, wherever they put this card, this is a extremely stacked card.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely, man. I can't wait. You know, it's just, you know, all the fights are, you know, matched pretty evenly. Of course, you know, we got we did have a spillover at the buffet, and somebody didn't make weight. So Cowboy Cerrone will be missing from this card. But you know, other than that, there's going to be plenty of fighters out there to make up for it.
Hold on just a second. I'm not aware of anybody making weight. I haven't yet checked the weigh-in results. So Cerrone missed weight, and he's that fight is canceled?
No, not Cerrone. I think Gastelum missed weight.
Oh, well, that's not a shocker.
Yeah. Cerrone doesn't miss weight. That guy's an adamant professional. Cerrone does not miss weight. Now, at least I've never in all the times that I followed him, I've never seen him miss weight. But Gastelum, I think it's what, his second or third time to miss weight.
Yeah, I want to say it's his fourth time.
Yeah. Oh wow, his fourth time. Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, if it is really his fourth time, then that sucks for Cowboy, man. You know, if you want to see one guy fight, you know, in a fight mecca, you want to see Cowboy Cerrone fight. It's a shame that, you know, he doesn't get to fight because, you know, your guy doesn't make weight. You know, because they do the official weigh-ins, in the morning now, right?
Yeah.
And then whatever they do later on, that's, you know, with the fans and everything, that's, you know, basically for show, right? You actually make your weight in the morning. So,
Kelvin Gastelum didn't
make it.
Not only did he not make it, he didn't even show up. He didn't even step on the scale. He knew he was too fat, and he wasn't even going to try. Well, I guess I shouldn't call someone who weighs 180 pounds fat. But give me a break, dude. You're on the biggest card in MMA history, and you miss weight so bad that you don't even show up to the weigh-in. That's ridiculous. Give me a break. Come on. Where's the professionalism? Where's the discipline? You know, and I say this. I don't know that this guy, maybe he was sick, maybe he had an injury. So if that's the case, then maybe it's a different story. But this guy's a repeat offender. Man, that's got to be disappointing. I'm seeing on here also that Thiago Alves missed weight. He missed weight to the point that they now have to fight that now he and Jim Miller are going to fight at 163 pound catch weight when they were, I guess, apparently supposed to be 155.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a catch weight fight. Obviously, I'm taking Jim Miller in that one. I'm thinking Miller, you know, is going to probably be in better condition. And, you know. But as far as Kelvin Gastelum, we don't know. We don't know why he missed weight. Maybe he was sick. Maybe it could have been anything, right? But at the end of the day, it's whatever he comes out and says, because he's, you know, been in this situation before, nobody's going to believe him, right? So it really doesn't matter anyway. I just, you know, if you knew you weren't coming, maybe you should have told them, you know, a week prior. Maybe they could have got somebody to fill in. Somebody would have taken that fight, if not just to fight Cowboy, but just to fight him in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I will say this on a personal note. They were doing the dreaded 9 o'clock start, or 6 fight 9 o'clock start, excuse me. And
right.
With that fight scratched, it's only going to be 5 fights. So that means I'm going to get to bed at a decent hour tomorrow, which is very important to me, as you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that is important to you.
All right. So Conor McGregor has been teasing a big announcement following UFC 205. And I want to throw in what I think it's going to be. And this is going to be a crazy prediction because it's something that I think we all thought might not ever happen. It's going to be one of two things. It's going to be either he's taking time off to get married to his current girlfriend, or he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather.
Well, I don't think he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather. I think he's going to defend 45. What do you think?
Man, I'm telling you, I heard Dana White on Jim Rome this week. I believe it was, as a matter of fact, it was earlier today. He did a couple of segments with Jim Rome, and Dana White.
Oh, Jim Rome.
He had the door wide open, more so than ever. And I think with the new bosses that are running the UFC, I think they'd want to get something like that done, and it wouldn't surprise me. But I think he's probably going to let everybody know that he's going to be getting married to his current girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Aside from the personal stuff. Yeah.
Well, good for that's
so
good.
Congratulations,
good for him, man. If you know anything about Conor McGregor's story, you know that that girl has been with him when he had nothing. So, I mean, it's you know, hey, more power to those two, right? They decided to do that.
Well, on Conor all the time, it is, of course, Ultimate Conor Fighting Championship. let's go ahead and talk about it. The main event, Eddie Alvarez defending the UFC lightweight title against Conor McGregor. How does this fight shake out? Who wins, and how do they get it done?
Man, you know, I'm going to say this, right? So, my friend, you know, if it's a big card, he bets on these fights, right? He's got the whole nine going on, right? So he sends me the card. He goes, well, you know, if you were going to bet money, who would you bet on, right? So, you know, I send him my picks, and sometimes he doesn't go with all of them, right? Sometimes he bets against me, and I'm like, I'm fine with that. I'm just giving him my opinion. But I couldn't lay it out for McGregor and Alvarez. I couldn't go definitive. And the reason why is because, you know, I believe that one's got more to lose than the other one does. And Eddie Alvarez, man, that guy can fight, man. He's known for, you know, 3- and 5-round wars. So it's kind of a hard one for me to call.
Yeah, it's a very tough one to call, given what Alvarez has done since coming into the UFC. He's fought some tough guys. He's beat some tough guys. The fight that I think I would go back to in terms of if there's any kind of a comparison in style would be the Anthony Pettis fight. Pettis likes to throw a lot of kicks, as does McGregor. They're different, but, you know, they like to keep their distance. They, you know, they're dynamic in the way that they strike.
Yeah.
Of course, he beat Anthony Pettis. I think one of the questions here is, can Alvarez close the distance? Can he do it enough to force McGregor into a brawl or
right.
clinch or an ugly fight? If he can do that, I think he can win, and I think he can win fairly easily.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, but Conor, if you look at what they've done on paper and who they fought, Eddie Alvarez has fought much tougher guys, has victories over much tougher guys, and
yeah.
has fought 5-round fights pretty much, it seems like, his entire career.
Right. And he's fought everywhere. So, I mean, he's fought everyone. He's fought all over the world. You know, the other thing is, yeah, you know, I'm not picking against Conor by any means, but you can almost say that, you know, well, Conor's probably ready for that type of style. I mean, after his last fight with Nate Diaz, right? But you know, is he gonna want to go through another 5 rounds of that? Because I mean, let's face it, that's a tough fight, and that's the type of fighter that Eddie Alvarez is, man. I mean, if you watched any of his fights with Michael Chandler, they were just brutal. Just wars, man. That guy, I mean, it's just constant. It's just scrap. And it's, I'm not saying McGregor's not scrappy. I'm just saying I hope he doesn't think it's going to be easy.
No, and there's another difference. In my opinion, there's a lot of difference between Alvarez and Nate Diaz, but in terms of
right.
their scrappy nature, they have that similarity, like you said, but Eddie Alvarez has something that Nate Diaz doesn't. Potentially end the fight. But it's going to be a very interesting, you know, it's an interesting matchup. It could go a lot of different ways. You know, how is Conor McGregor's gas tank going to land? Off his game a little bit in terms of the mental game, the mental aspect of it, in that in the beginning, Alvarez was really challenging McGregor's ego, telling him, hey, you're the easiest fight. Hey, you know, you're nothing, you're nobody. And it was really, I think, getting a really emotional, and Conor's an emotional guy, but I think it was the same kind of emotion that Nate Diaz was eliciting from him that caused McGregor to fight a little bit more emotional in that first fight, and which caused him to gas out. You know, Nate Diaz said, hey, you haven't done anything but knock out a bunch of midgets, and, you know, who are you? You're nobody. Well, Eddie Alvarez started out kind of doing the same thing, and I feel like it was really getting under McGregor's skin, but leading up to the fight, he's kind of done a little turn where he's now kind of playing up to the crowd. I don't know if you saw the pre-fight conference from just a few days ago, but Conor McGregor actually picked up a chair and acted as if he was going to throw it at Eddie Alvarez, which was probably an act, but still outrageous.
Well, I don't know if you saw how that whole thing transpired. Did you get a chance to watch all of it?
I did.
Yeah, Eddie Alvarez actually threw the chair at him first.
Yeah, he kind of threw it down there at his feet while he was sitting down.
I mean, I understand why Eddie Alvarez was mad. I mean, Conor came skipping in, took his belt, you know, like he did with Jose Aldo. He took his belt, put it on, he did all kinds of stuff with it. And, you know, they're selling it pretty well. I mean, it's going to be a good fight. How, you know, to me, though, Eddie Alvarez has more to lose in this fight than Conor McGregor does. If Conor McGregor loses, he's still the 145-pound champ. He just goes down. He just goes down to defend. That's all that is. Right, because
does more to lose make you more dangerous?
What's that?
Does more to lose make you more dangerous?
I mean, I think it kind of does. Look at this. Your first title defense is a champ from another division coming up to challenge you. That's, I mean that probably put a spark in me. I think it'd probably make it would make Conor, you know, have more of a competitive effect as far as that fight's concerned. Now that's, you know, it's your first fight, right? You got more to lose. You lose your belt. Conor loses, right? Let's say he loses. What happens? And he's still a 145-pound champ. Eddie doesn't get his belt. They don't unify that. It's not like boxing, you know. It's just it's kind of like when Matt Hughes stepped up to fight. When BJ Penn stepped up to fight Matt Hughes and he lost, right? BJ just retained his title. Remember?
Yeah. Same thing with George.
Yeah, I mean, right. I still get to go down and defend my division, even if I lose to you. Now, I'm sure he's not thinking that way. He's coming in because he wants both belts. But Eddie Alvarez, man, he's just a long journey to get where he is. I don't think he gives it up that easy. I don't think it's going to be a one-round knockout.
I'm also interested to see how Conor looks at 155. I think 155 is probably the right weight for him. I think 145 was a deep, deep cut, and 170 was probably too big. 155 is probably right in that sweet spot. I'll be interested to see how that affects his stamina and his gas tank if it goes into the later rounds.
You know, I think his gas tank was pretty strong at 169 pounds. So I'm thinking his gas tank's probably going to be pretty solid. Probably really good at 155 because it was, we didn't really get to see a whole lot of his gas tank at 145. But I think if it you know, if it's one of those, if it's a knockdown, drag out fight and it goes 4 or 5 rounds, I think his gas tank's going to be okay because he's a little leaner, per se.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, he was dead after the first Diaz fight. He spent the fourth and fifth rounds almost literally running from Nate in their second fight with his arms down. That for me, in my opinion, is a question. But if it comes down to pick, I'm gonna pick Eddie Alvarez. I'm gonna say he wins a split decision and keeps the belt and sends McGregor back to 145.
Yeah. It's a good. I'm not picking this one. I can't pick it, man. I can't make a solid decision on, and it's not even because I like them both or anything like that, but because I do, you know, obviously. But I just, you know, Eddie Alvarez, when he first came to UFC, I thought maybe it was too little too late. And he's the champ, right? I mean, it's anything can happen, man, with these two guys. It's just it's too crazy to call. Too crazy to pick. I'm not picking.
Second title
I'm
fight
staying
of the night
out of
for
this
the welterweight title. Tyron Woodley is defending the belt against Stephen Thompson. This is a very interesting matchup to me. Stephen Thompson is a, he's kind of like Lyoto Machida was, you know, the first half of his career, where guys just can't seem to figure him out on the stand-up ground, in the stand-up game. They just can't figure him out, can't get close to him. He's got a dynamic skill set on his feet. I think we're going to see Tyron Woodley break out some of the wrestling tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't see Tyron Woodley staying on his feet. Now, if he lands, though, if he does get a good shot in, I mean, I do believe he can knock Stephen Wonderboy Thompson out. But you know what? I'm going to pick this one. I think, I got to go with Wonderboy on this one. I just feel like he's had pretty good success against wrestlers in the past. I feel like he can get this one done.
Yeah, I like both these guys. I like them because they're both professional, and they both seem to be hard workers, good attitudes for the most part. And for me, the tipping point is going to be Woodley's wrestling. If he goes to the wrestling, I don't think he can outstrike Thompson, with the exception of, like you said, if he's able to catch him, he can catch him and he can knock him out. But I think, you know, 4 or 5 rounds of just stand up with Thompson, and I don't think he can outstrike him, but I do think he can out-wrestle him. So for me,
definitely,
the question is going to be, can he get him to the ground? If he can get him to the ground, I think he can win. I don't know, man. I think he can, and I'm going to go with Woodley on a decision win.
Okay. Now, I respect that. I love Tyron Woodley, man. He's a beast. He's explosive. But I haven't seen a whole lot of what he can do. I know he's a great wrestler. I know he's a great grappler. He's going to have to make it dirty to beat Stephen Thompson. But I know Stephen Thompson, man, he can't run for 5 rounds. Not from Tyron Woodley. That's not going to happen. But what I would
win.
Too overzealous, I think he can win the fight.
So, you know, because he's climbed up from the ranks. I mean, he's went from prelims to main card to main event, and, you know, he's climbed the ladder, and you have to respect that. As did Tyron Woodley. So, you know, so to say, they both have. Tyron Woodley has done the same thing, made a name for himself in that welterweight division. Of course, the third, believe it or not, 3 title fights. It's going to be a women's strawweight championship. Johanna Jędrzejczyk versus Carolina. And I'm not going to try to say her name. You know exactly who I'm talking about, and you know how I do it. I like to butcher names, so I'm not even going to give it a shot. man, you know, I hate to predict that there's not going to be a title change tomorrow, but bottom line, man, Joanna is, to me, is just a buzzsaw, and that's not going to stop tomorrow night.
I don't, you know what, man? I like Carolina. If she can fight, that's for sure. I just don't think. I just don't see it, man. She's looking crazier and crazier every fight. You know, she's a little bit more well-rounded. Her skills are a little more well-rounded. Carolina's got great stand-up also, but, you know, there's more to it than that, right? I think Joanna's rounded out her game a little bit more, and I think that's going to be the – I think that title stays with her tomorrow night.
Yeah, I do too. And even looking back to Joanna's last fight with Claudia Gadella, you know, in the first 3 minutes, I'm thinking, wow, you know, Gadella might have a chance to win. Claudia might have a chance. But
yeah,
that only lasted for like 2.5 or 3 minutes. And then it was like Joanna just found her rhythm and her distance, and that was the end of that fight. It was a moving punching bag for the last 22 minutes. I just don't see anybody beating her at this point.
Yeah, not right now, man. I don't see it happening. Now, if it ends up being close, that's great. But quite obviously, you want to see close title fights. But I think Joanna outstrikes her. I don't think it. I think you see takedown defense, and she just outstrikes her. I just don't see it. I don't see Carolina beating her. Her last fight, you know, to earn the title fight wasn't spectacular. So I got to go with Joanna, man. I'm gonna say so far I've got one belt changing hands. You've got no belts changing hands. Is that right?
Yeah, man. I hate for it to come out like that. I'd like to see a title change hands, but I just don't see it. I'm pulling for Alvarez.
Cool,
it wouldn't surprise me if McGregor wins, but I'm pulling for Alvarez.
Not at all. From a fan's perspective, man, it's just those are hard fights to call, man. Hard fights to call.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
You know?
Yeah, they
especially
are.
Especially in MMA. Yeah.
Is it a little surprising at how much booing that fans at these events, the weigh-ins, the conferences, how much they've been booing Eddie Alvarez for no apparent reason other than they love Conor McGregor?
No, he really is. He's a great guy. I think there's just such a huge Irish following in New York. I think maybe that's where he gets kind of stuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were on Alvarez pretty heavy. And
yeah, I couldn't believe that either.
You know,
I thought he'd get a huge reception out there.
No respect. Well, that's just about going to wrap it up for this edition of the Majority Decision. I want to thank everybody for listening, and don't forget tomorrow night on pay-per-view UFC 205. Be sure and check it out. We'll be back here with us on Sunday to go over all the results and happenings. Have a great weekend.